We're talking about a strange subject today in some way. It's Easter, and so these are for sale all over the place, these little jelly beans. But it does seem like an odd topic. In fact, one of the young men said to me, "I hear you're talking about jelly beans today. That doesn't seem like a Bible topic." And to some, I suppose that may be the case. It doesn't seem quite right. Why are we talking about jelly beans? Well, we're talking about how the truth is like jelly beans. And that may seem odd, too. You may think, the truth and jelly beans have nothing in common whatsoever. But I think as we go along, we'll see that they did. And I certainly appreciate those who filled out these wonderful little papers here to help me have some illustrative material to go along with the jelly beans for this lesson. We're using these jelly beans as an analogy. Jesus used analogies a lot. As he was saying to me, you know, oh, jelly beans, we don't talk about jelly beans. But think about some of the things that Jesus did teach about. He talked about water. He taught about people sowing seed. He talked about fishing. He talked about wedding feasts. He told parables, we call them, but really all a parable is an analogy. It's where you take one thing that people understand and you use it as an illustration to help them understand something that they don't understand as well, or something that is more difficult, something on the spiritual plane. He compared death to sleep. He compared baptism to birth. He compared a lot of different things and used those analogies to help people to understand things that they otherwise wouldn't have. And so I think it's safe to say if he were here today, he would still be doing that. Now, whether he would choose jelly beans or not, I don't know. But I chose it. And so I hope that it will be helpful for us as we study about truth. I want to begin with the first thought. Truth exists. Just like these jelly beans. They're very real. Truth is also very real. Now, truth is not quite as tangible in some ways as these jelly beans, because truth is more difficult to touch and taste and smell. It's a little harder to see sometimes, or even to hear. But it does exist, and there's no doubt that it does, except in the minds of many people today. We live in a time where people are very confused about the existence of truth. In his book, Adrift, Brother Phil Sanders talks about this. And here's what he has to say. The postmodern mindset. We live in what's called the postmodern times. He says the postmodern mindset at the close of the second millennium. So this was some 20 years ago. But things have not changed that drastically in the last 20 years. Sets an individual adrift on a sea of uncertainty, not having a North Star to guide him. That kind of fits right with what we're going to be talking about in our meeting. Be sure you come to that Saturday and next Sunday with our dear brother Chapman, Terry Chapman from Florida, coming up to share with us about that North Star that guides us. But he says he doesn't have a North Star to guide him, a rudder to steer him, or an anchor to secure him. He does not know where he has been, where he is now, or where he is going, and he will not let anyone else tell him. That's it. Usually if you're lost, you kind of want somebody to help you find your way, don't you? But we live in a world today where people are completely bewildered by where they are, where they've been, where they're going. They don't have a clue, and they don't want anybody else to tell them. They are happy to just be adrift. He is insulted if anyone questions his right to drift. He may affirm his own plans as right and good, but will not allow anyone to criticize or deny them. He will not judge anything as right or wrong. He will not tolerate any intolerance. This is a commitment to absolute moral and doctrinal freedom. He has set himself adrift on a sea without the eternal foundation of God. More and more, it seems like we're living in time like the time of the judges in the Bible. In the book of Judges, it says on a couple of different occasions, there was no king in that day, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And certainly that seems to be the case today in our society. Everybody just kind of sets themselves up as the authority for what's right and wrong, and I believe this, and you can't tell me any differently. But truth is still truth. You can deny it, but that doesn't change anything. In fact, denying the truth doesn't make it disappear any more than denying these jelly beans makes them disappear. Now, you could make them disappear if you ate them, I suppose. But you can't make these jelly beans disappear by just saying, those aren't jelly beans. There aren't any jelly beans up there. They're there. The difference is, if you denied these jelly beans were in this jar, most of the people sitting around you would think, and maybe even say, are you okay? Did you forget your glasses at home? I know one person did. May not be able to tell these are jelly beans up there. Forgot the glasses. Can you see okay? What's wrong with it? Of course there are jelly beans up there. But when people deny the truth, everyone around them just says, well, you know, that's their business. And yet, truly, they are very confused. And we live in a world full of people who are very confused about the truth. But the truth does exist. And as we think about all of this, we think about this in regards to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We talked this morning in our adult class in the auditorium about Paul wanting to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And of course, the resurrection that followed just days after that crucifixion. That was part of the message. That's the gospel. We even use the phrase, gospel truth. And yet there are so many who are denying the truth of the gospel today. But the other thing that we find is not only does truth exist and you can't deny it and make it disappear by denying it, what we call truth doesn't change what it is. I can call these marbles, but that doesn't make them marbles, does it? They're still jelly beans. Now, I could use a broader term. I could say, well, they're candy. Well, that's still true in a broader sense. But more specifically, they're jelly beans. It doesn't matter how we try to twist our words to try to change truth. The truth remains the same. Abraham Lincoln is famously quoted as having asked the question, if you call a dog's tail a leg, how many legs does a dog have? And some in the audience would say, five. And he would say, no. The dog still only has four legs. It doesn't matter what you call his tail. It's still a tail. It's not a leg. And the same thing is so true of so many things in the Scriptures where people try to deny or change what it's called. We can call sin by all sorts of other names. We can call it a lifestyle choice. We can call it freedom of opinion. We can call it a sickness. But it doesn't change the fact, the truth, that if the Bible calls it sin, it's still sin. And so many times we try to skate around that. But it doesn't matter how long you leave this jar sitting here, these jelly beans will never become marbles. They'll always be jelly beans. Now, I guess if some water gets in there, they may kind of melt and turn back to their original consistency of sugar and gelatin. But they're still the same substance. They're still jelly beans. Time doesn't change what a truth is. Truth remains the same. That's one of the fundamental facts about truth. The third thing that we want to notice is that truth and opinion are different. Now, we probably already knew that, but we sometimes get confused. Sometimes we try to set our opinion up as truth, and we get in trouble when we do that, because my opinion may or may not be in agreement with the truth, and your opinion may or may not be in agreement with the truth. But there are some things about which there may not necessarily be a truth. It may just be a matter of opinion. It may be a matter of preference. As we think about that, I want us to notice two questions. Question number one, are there pink jelly beans? Question number two, which color is best? Now, probably as you look at those two questions, you recognize those are a little different. One of those requires a definitive truth statement to answer it. Are there pink jelly beans? Well, either yes, there are, or no, there are. Now, if we're talking about in this jar, we could say, well, yes, there are. If we were talking about just in general, are there pink jelly beans? Yes, there are. But if I ask you, well, are there red jelly beans? Several people that filled out these little papers about this, several of them, one of the questions was, how many red jelly beans are in the jar? And several of them said zero. They looked at this jar and they looked it over and they found there are no red jelly beans in that jar. But are there red jelly beans? Well, yes. They may or may not be in this jar, but there are still red jelly beans. We know they exist. There are truths that are not found in the Bible. There are mathematical truths, scientific truths, even historical truths that the Bible doesn't address and doesn't talk about. But those may still be truths, they're just not something the Bible talks about. But the things that the Bible does talk about and does state as truths, we need to understand as truths. The second question, which color is the best or which flavor is the best? If I ask my son, he might say the black ones in here are the best because they're licorice and there's something went wrong in his genetics. And he likes licorice. His sister likes them too. They may not be my children. I may need to check on them. They like, for some reason, I can't figure out why, they're the only ones in our whole extended family that like them. But they like the black jelly beans. Other people might say, oh no, the pink ones taste like strawberry, or the orange ones that taste like orange, or what have you. Or they may say, I just really don't like this one or that one. Is that true? Well, in this case, it may be true for them. The problem is, see, when it comes to opinion, it's up to you to decide which color you like best. There is no definitive answer to which color of jelly bean is best. Now, we could ask which color of jelly bean or which flavor of jelly bean is the most popular, but even that doesn't determine it. There are many things in our lives that are matters of opinion where we could say, well, it's true for me, it may or may not be true for you. I like this best, you may not. The problem we have in our society today is people try to take that opinion standard of, well, I like it this way and you like it a different way and that's okay, I have mine and you have yours, and they try to apply that to truth statements like the first one. And it doesn't work. You can't apply an opinion to truth. They're not the same. Truth and opinion are different. Another thing that we learn is that we can know some truth even if we don't know all truth.
Sometimes people will say, well, if you can't know everything about, then who are you to say, well, I can know what I know. There's a lot of mathematics that I do not know. I started to take pre-calculus, and I quickly discovered that I did not like pre-calculus very much, and so I decided to take a Bible class instead. And that's one of the reasons that I'm a preacher and not a mathematician. Okay. So I don't know anything about calculus. I took about 1 week's worth of that class. Does the fact that I don't know calculus change the fact that I do know that 2 plus 2 equals 4? Not at all. Just because I don't know everything on a subject doesn't mean I don't know anything. There are some people who say, well, if you can't know everything about the Bible, then you can't talk about it at all. Well, that's ridiculous. Can I know that there are green jelly beans in here? Yeah, I can see them. You can see them. If you get your eyes open and if you can see. You can see that there are green jelly beans in here. In fact, if you look closely enough, I can see, I don't know if you can from where you're sitting, but I can see that there are actually two different colors of green jelly beans in the jar. That happened because I was planning to use a much smaller jar and bought a couple bags and then wound up having to go back and buy more when I used a bigger jar because I couldn't find a smaller jar. And so I bought a different brand, and they're a different color. They're a different shade of green. And we can talk about those things. And we could know that there are two different colors of green jelly beans in this jar. We could know that there are several other different shades of green jelly beans out there on the market that may not even be in this jar. But do I know how many green jelly beans are in the jar? Well, I do, because I counted them. But you don't. And that's evidenced by the people who filled this out. I've got several here that filled this out, and none of them knew how many green jelly beans. They guessed, some of them, guessed how many were in there, but they don't know. They didn't get it right. We could talk about how many jelly beans total there are. And they guessed at that too. They didn't get that right either. Although, I will have to say, some people are unique about the way they go around this thing. I have to give credit to one young man. He said there's between 100 and 1,000. And he's right. You got that one, didn't you? Unfortunately, that's not a very specific answer. That doesn't really answer the question of how many there are. I just say, well, there's somewhere, because there's more than one. But that doesn't answer the question, does it? Now, we can know that there's somewhere between 100 and 1,000, but not know exactly how many there are. And I will say, if you agree with him that there's between 100 and 1,000, you're right about that. There is between 100 and 1,000 in there. You see, we can know certain things, like that there are green jelly beans. And the thing about knowing one fact doesn't change another fact. Knowing that there are green jelly beans doesn't change whether there are red jelly beans. And we may get one answer right and the other answer wrong. Because I asked as well on this little paper, I asked how many green jelly beans there were, and while they guessed wrong, at least they guessed that there were green jelly beans. I asked about the red jelly beans. An awful lot of people said zero. Said there's no red jelly beans in that jar. And I dare say most of you, if you looked at the jar or if you look at it later, would probably tend to agree with you. You'd say, no, I don't see any red ones. But just because we can't see a truth doesn't necessarily mean that truth isn't there. There are probably a lot of truths that we don't know yet or don't understand yet. We still are growing and learning about the truth. See, we can know about the church of the Bible by what's written about the church in the Bible. And we may not recognize everything about every other church in the world. There are hundreds of them. But we can know, is this church doing what the church in the Bible did? Is it teaching and practicing those things that the Bible says? It's like with my wife. I know who my wife is. And a woman could walk in that back door and I could say, that's not my wife. And you could say, well, how do you know? It's a woman. Isn't your wife a woman? Yes, my wife's a woman, but that woman's not my wife. Well, how do you know? Because I know my wife. I don't know who that woman is, but I know she's not my wife. In the same way, we can judge Jesus' bride, the church, by the things in the Scriptures and look and see, is this Jesus' bride? Yes or no? Depending on the descriptions given in the Bible, we can know them. One of the things that we recognize here is that there are some things about these jelly beans that you'll never know. You could open this jar up and pour them out and count them, and you would know exactly how many are in there and exactly how many of each color, just like I do. And that's the way it is with the Bible. We can pore over the Bible, we can study it, and we can learn it, and we can learn those things. But even if you count these, it will not tell you how many I bought or how many I ate. And I have to be honest, with that last one, I can't even tell you how many I ate, because I just ate some while I was putting the others in the jar. I didn't count those, because if you count them, then you have to count the calories. And so I didn't count those. But that's the way it is with the Scriptures. God didn't reveal everything to us. There are some things that we didn't need to know. And so He didn't tell us. And so no matter how much we read the Bible, we will never know some of the truths that God knows while we're here on this earth. Now, whether He chooses to reveal those things to us in heaven, I don't know that either. He didn't say. That's one of the things He hasn't revealed in the Scriptures. But we need to understand that we can know some truth, even if we don't know it all. And we can be confident of the truth that we do know. And then we want to notice that what we think won't change the truth. Not knowing doesn't change the truth. The fact that people don't know how many jelly beans are in this jar doesn't change the truth that there are a certain number of jelly beans in this jar. It doesn't matter if everybody in the world guessed and everyone guessed wrong and thought the wrong thing. It still would not change how many are in here. Trying to change the Bible, trying to make it say what we want it to say, and we could reprint it, put verses in that we want and take out verses we don't like. We could change it up. It wouldn't change the truth. We just wouldn't have an accurate Bible anymore. We need to recognize that. The sixth thing that we want to notice is that our point of view doesn't change the truth. If I put all of the green ones on this side and all of the yellow ones on this side, and all that you could see over here were the yellow ones, and you couldn't see any of the green ones, and all the people over here could see were the green ones, and they couldn't see any of the yellow ones, you'd have a different point of view. But it wouldn't change the truth that there were both green and yellow ones in there. In fact, the fact that you can't see the red ones that are in here doesn't change the fact that there are red ones in here. In fact, one of the questions I asked was, are there more pink, red, or green? Nobody got that question right. Because the fact of the matter is, while you can see and count several of the pink and green ones, you can't see any of the red ones, and so you kind of assume there aren't any, or if there were, there sure aren't very many. I had guesses like 1 or 11. There are more red ones than any other color. I know that may not seem right. If you look at that, you think, there's no way there are more red ones in there. But there are. There are more red ones in this jar than any other color. You see, the fact
that we have a different point of view doesn't change the truth. But not knowing the truth allows us to be misled. Because we don't know the truth, we may trust someone to tell us, and you might trust me, for example. So we've already talked about there being between 100 and 1,000 in there. What if I said, well, there are 548. Would you believe me? Well, some will, some won't. What if I said there are 740? Would you believe that? Some would and some won't. And see, the problem is when we don't know the truth for ourselves, we have a tendency to listen to somebody else and believe what they say about the truth. Which is why it's important for us to study the truth and learn the truth. And like the scripture in Proverbs written, buy the truth and don't sell it. Hold on to truth when you get it. We need to be sure that we're not being led astray by listening to people telling us things about the truth that aren't true. We need to be checking that. We need to be studying behind them to see if they're telling the truth. Then we learn that people agreeing doesn't change the truth. If all of you out there, probably looks like probably about 100 folks or more out here today, if all 100 of you agreed that there were 627 jelly beans in here and you all took a vote and I was the only one that voted a different number than that, it wouldn't change the fact that I know how many jelly beans are in here and you don't. And you guessed wrong, and you voted wrong. See, the truth isn't something we can vote on. It is what it is. If the whole world voted and said 2 plus 2 equals 8 instead of 4, it wouldn't make it so. If a church council votes and says, well, I know the Bible says this, but we're going to vote this other way and change what our church teaches, doesn't make it truth. Doesn't matter how many people agree with it and vote for it and try to make it that way, it's not true. And then there's the fact that there must be absolute objective truth. It must exist. You see, the reason for that is there are only two possibilities. One is that absolute truth exists. The other is that it's absolutely true that absolute truth doesn't exist. And that statement doesn't work. So we know some absolute truth must exist. And just like there is an absolute number of jelly beans in this jar, and they're there, it must exist. Logic demands it. We cannot get around it. There must be things that are true. And in fact, would you want to live in a world where there weren't some facts, some truths that you could depend on? I mean, imagine our world. I mean, just think of it just from a practical, everyday living standpoint. Gravity works. It's a truth that gravity, we may not know how it works or what causes gravity, and they may debate about that all day long, but we know that something keeps us on the ground. We can jump a little and get off the ground for a little bit. We can even create machines that will fly us and keep us off the ground for a while until they run out of fuel. But the gravity holds us to the ground somehow. Would you like to live in a world where you couldn't count on that? Where you might wake up one day up on the ceiling because gravity quit during the night? Would you like to live in a world where the sun doesn't rise in the east and set in the west? Where, you know, tomorrow it may come up in the south and then the next day it may come up in the north and then one day it might just decide not to come up that day for no reason at all and another time it might decide to come up at midnight. Would you like to live in a world like that?
It would be chaos, wouldn't it? You couldn't depend on anything. Couldn't count on anything. And in the same way, living in a world where there's not truth is total chaos. We see it in our world around us. We see it when we get to the point where people can't tell whether a child is a boy or a girl. We were talking about that this last night. We saw a news story about an actress who had adopted a little child and said, "Well, I thought it was a boy, but come to find out, when she was three, she said, 'I'm not a boy, I'm a girl.'" Now, my first thought, when I first saw it, I thought, wow, somebody duped her and they, you know, she was adopting this kid. They said it was a boy and she got the baby home and it wasn't a boy, it was a girl. I know some people have had ultrasounds where they thought they were having a girl and it was a boy, or vice versa. You know, that happens, they dupe you sometimes. But no, her kid's a boy. I said something about, well, if you can't tell whether a baby is a boy or a girl, and my daughter said, change a diaper. You'll figure it out. Change a diaper on a baby one time, and you'll be able to figure out whether that's a boy or a girl. But our world today can't figure it out. These things are true. There's either boy or girl. But then we want to ask this question as we come to the conclusion of our time together. Who do you trust to tell you the truth? When it comes to this jar of jelly beans, you kind of trust some stranger off the street to tell you how many are in here? You going to trust your mom or dad, son or daughter, husband or wife, neighbor, elder at church, preacher? Who are you going to trust? Well, if I'm a trustworthy fellow, you could trust me because I do know the answer. But if you don't trust me, then you might not want to trust me. I will tell you, though, there actually are 695 jelly beans in here. 695. The closest guess I got was 750. That was David Murphy. He was sitting there measuring and he did some math and he was still off by over 50. Nobody was very close on how many red ones, though, because there actually are 93 red jelly beans in here, almost 100. Of these jelly beans are red. But you can't tell that just by looking from the outside. Now, if you want afterwards, you can open that up and look down in there and pour some out and see some of those red ones that are in there. But it doesn't look that way sometimes. Jesus told some truths that kind of went against what everybody thought. Went against the way it looked to everybody else. Are we going to trust him? Or are we going to trust the culture? Are we going to trust somebody else? You know, even those that were Jesus' enemies when he was on earth acknowledged that he taught the truth. In Mark chapter 12, they come to Jesus and they say to him in verse 14, "Master, we know that you are true and you don't care for any man's opinion. For you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth." Boy, if only they followed through on what they said. "We know you teach the word of God in truth." But then they didn't listen to it. They didn't trust him and follow him. The only man who ever died and rose to never die again, they didn't trust him. Who are you going to trust to tell you how to get to heaven? I mean, that's a lot more important than these jelly beans. It's really probably not worth your time to pour those all out and count them all just to make sure that I'm telling you the truth when I say there's 695 of them and 93 of them are red. I mean, I could go on down the list how many of each color because I counted each color when I put them in there to make sure that I was telling you the truth when I said there's more of this color than that color. Probably not worth your effort. But what about your soul? What about where you're going to spend eternity? Is that worth the effort? Or are you just going to take somebody else's word for it? You see, in this case, I know because I counted them. I put them in there. In the case of the Scripture, in the case of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, do we know? Have we studied it? Have we come to a conclusion? Or are we just listening to somebody else about it? You see, the Bereans were honored in the Scriptures. It was said that they were more noble than others because they studied to see if the things they were being taught were true or not. And we need to do the same. See, the truth is, Jesus lived a perfect life, died a cruel death, was buried for 3 days, and rose to never die again. Now, we can choose to believe that or not. But if we don't believe it, we're hurting ourselves. But the truth remains. But we accept the truth and live by that truth. See, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ demands some things of us. It demands that we respond to what He taught and how He lived. Are we doing that? If you're here this morning and you're not living according to the truth that Jesus brought, if you haven't believed in Him, if you haven't repented of your sins, if you haven't confessed Him as the Christ, if you haven't been buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away, what are you waiting for? Don't you trust Him? He's the only one who's been to heaven and has come here to earth and gone back to heaven. He's the only one who knows how to get there. We need to trust Him to lead us there. If you're here and you have a need to respond to God's invitation for any reason, please come as we stand and sing.